be to God. I loved, loved, loved what Brady and Eamon had to say to us last week in their sermons. They were both able to take what their summer meant to them and relate it to us in such a meaningful way where we could grow from their experiences. And both of them shared their stories. And Brady mentioned how much it meant to him to be able to hear stories about Highland Park from his dad. And he was excited to be able to tell stories about Highland Park to his children. Our stories, they mean so much to us, don't they? I'm not the only one that gets together with family or friends and we laugh about stories from the past. Some we may want to remember and some we may wish were not remembered. Roy and I are going back to Oklahoma next month. Actually, it's this month. This is September now, right? This month. To spend a few days with my brothers and sister-in-laws, just us together. We haven't done that in many years. And then I'm going to end the week with Roy and I attending my class reunion. And I haven't been to my class reunion since my 10th reunion. So there's a lot of remembering that I am anticipating with both my family and my friends. Our Hebrew passage today tells us to remember. To remember. It calls us to look back. It calls us to look at this community. To look at this community in the past. To look at it today. And to look at it in the future. And see how we can live and grow until we finish this race of faith. Promising us that God is with us yesterday, today, and forever. But God calls us to remember. Some of the things the writer of Hebrew calls us to remember are easier than others. First, very simply, we are to remember to love one another. The writer of Hebrews mentions this over and over throughout the book. We're to be family to one another, siblings, brothers and sisters, in supportive relationships. That seems pretty easy most of the time, doesn't it? We come together because we have developed a relationship, one of love and respect, and yes, family. And so it's easy to love the people we worship with. The difficult part comes in the next phrase, where it says we don't need to become focused on ourselves. We need to remember to love strangers. I don't know about you, but I love to entertain, and from time to time, I love to have family and friends at my home where we can talk and we can laugh and, yes, remember. But it's not as easy to invite strangers to a meal at our home, is it? Matter of fact, we spend a lot of time avoiding strangers. We even teach our children about stranger danger. And it's a very real part of the world that we live in. But we're told right here in Scripture to love strangers. So how do we reconcile those two messages? It won't surprise you, but Roy talks to strangers everywhere we go. And within a very short period of time, he has found some connection to that person that he meets. I'm all the time telling him not to talk to small children because they're taught not to talk to strangers, but he does it anyway. And he makes connections and almost always finds a way to mention Highland Park in the conversation. Where is that line? How do we entertain strangers while still protecting ourselves and our children? I found myself, while in Israel, talking to a lot of people that I don't know that I ever would have done had I not been in these religious sites that somehow connected us and brought us onto common ground. I met people from other countries and other faiths, and for some reason it felt safe. I love the thought that those strangers may just be angels sent to serve humanity. I admit that sometimes as I watch Roy with strangers, I think he may just be an angel sent to them to show that he is genuinely interested in them and their stories. And I wish I had a little more of that bravery. The next thing that the scripture calls us to is remembering those in prison and those being mistreated. And I can't help but think about so many that are hurting in our very state. I can't help but think about those in Odessa right now, those in El Paso, those right downtown on our very streets, driving up and down the highway and watching the people living in tents underneath the bridges. There is much suffering in our world, those seeking a place of safety and peace. And the prisons in this time were not prisons so much for bad things that were happening that they had done, so much as being in prison because they were different, because they spoke a different story, because they shared a different message. The writer then speaks of keeping marriage sacred and existing in contentment, not having a love for money, being content with what you have. And he speaks of remembering your leaders. Remembering. What does it really mean? Does it mean to just think about what has happened in the past? Does it mean we simply think about those we love and strangers, and we think about those in prison, and we think about our spouses and our belongings? The late Gerald E. Frost, who wrote Journey of the Heart, said this: when we deceive ourselves into thinking that remembering means reciting or lecturing, we lose sight of the fact that remembering really means receiving. When we remember with family and friends, we invite them to receive us, and we receive them into our stories. To remember Jesus when we come to this table today, it means that we're invited to receive Jesus. When we remember those in prison or those suffering, we're called to receive them into our lives. When we receive one another here at this table, all barriers are broken down. All barriers of division of race or status or gender are gone. We remember that we have all fallen short of the glory of God, and that through the love of Jesus, although we are slaves to the worldliness, we are made free. The truth has set us free. Because we stand side by side with our brothers and our sisters. No matter our differences, we're transformed and perfected in Christ. This table, it calls us to do so much more than just a simple time of remembering what Jesus did. It calls us to receive Jesus, to receive Jesus each and every day, to accept the love that is given freely, to accept that everyone, regardless of where they're born, regardless of what they do in this world, regardless of what they have in this world, that everyone is welcome to the table to receive. That none of us deserve this table, but all of us are invited. All that is expected of us is to receive the love that it represents, and then to take that love and share it in the world that needs to know there is a God, and needs to know there is unconditional love. Would our servers please come forward? On that night, as they gathered, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you.